Thank y'all. It is a complete honor to be able to speak in front of all y'all. Thank you, Miss Lisa, for allowing me. This year is my last year, sadly. But I'm enjoying it just like I do every year. Yesterday, as I was walking into Bible study, the Lord was doing some things in my life yesterday, and I'm very appreciative of that. But I kept hearing the word miracle run through my mind. And I do want to let you know that all of you sitting in here are miracles. Y'all are miracles that just keep giving. And so is he. But I wanted to quote a verse out of Mark chapter 19, verse 26. During this time, he was talking to the disciples about do not commit adultery, give false testimony, stuff like that. Well, the verse says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And to me, what stood out was when he said, with man, this is impossible. This is talking about life. Because life without Christ, I mean, to me, would be empty. A miracle, I mean, when we think of the word miracle, we think of somebody being raised from the dead or praying for somebody in the middle of youth camp and healed just like that. But like I said, each of us are miracles. I know miracles have changed my life. Dealing with the heart problem when I was younger, faced with open heart surgery, and then next thing I know, it's gone just like that. Because I was brave enough to put my faith in Christ. Therefore, he said, here, take my miracle and live with it. Because he wants us to be brave to be able to walk in his footsteps. It's like PJ said last night, you got to be brave. You got to let him open your eyes to let him see what he wants you to see. And I mean, looking through his eyes is just completely indescribable. Christ isn't going anywhere. I can guarantee it, which I think most of us know that. Matter of fact, all of us know that. He's not going anywhere. He's the miracle that keeps on giving. And each one of you have had miracles in your life. I mean, I can pretty much guarantee that because we all go through different walks of life. I know my childhood has been amazing. I could not thank my parents enough, and I could not thank Christ enough for that. But then there are some people who struggle. There are some people who go through addictions or abusive parents or just mental abuse by themselves. But God is saying, take my hand, take my miracle, and let me help you. I mean, I really don't know what else to say about it. I mean, you all are miracles. And when you get down and you think, well, I can't do this no more, there's no point. Just remember, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and open them again. And you're going to be looking him right in the face. I know one morning I got up and looked in the mirror. I was going through a tough time and stuff like that. I looked in the mirror. I said, God, what do I do now? I waited. He said, there's a miracle coming. Boom, I was healed 3 months later. So please do not get discouraged. Whenever life's choking you, I mean, just keep pushing. Because we all are blessed and God loves you unconditionally. Be brave enough to walk in his footsteps. Thank you.
Great job. Amen. That's brave. That's why he got all those arrows this morning. They were pointing right at him. I knew that was prophetic. Great job, Jeremy. And next up this morning, we have another Jeremy, Jeremy Hiles, who always leads our Bible study. Pastor's a Word That Frees is going to come and share with you this morning.
What's up? I've been watching Daniel Haran do some amazing tricks, and so I thought I would start out with some balloon animals for you guys this morning. Here we go.
Go, 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 go
Beat that. Yeah. Lisa asked me yesterday if I would be interested in speaking, and my grandpa used to say you have to be instant in season and out of season. So my response has always been in this house, yes, because that's just what you do. But like one of the things that's always hard for me is speaking in front of youth because I'm so used to being at my home church where I'm speaking to adults and stuff all the time. So it's always harder or more intimidating, I should say, to come and speak here. So you'll just have to bear with me, and we're all friends here, right? Amen. When I saw that, you know, I'd never pay attention to the camp packets and stuff. So when I got here, I found out, you know, the theme was Brave. And so I thought it was like the Disney cartoon. You know, I thought that's what we were doing was the Disney, you know, the girl with the red hair. And I was like, well, what do you do with that? I'm like, so I was going to be like, you know, don't go to the witch and have your mom turned into a bear, whatever you do. That's the moral of being brave. I watched Daniel, you know, the Sunday night when Daniel was speaking, he came up and he was, you know, there was the snake in the basket. And, you know, I've watched Daniel enough over the years to kind of figure that there probably wasn't a real snake in that basket. So I wasn't really scared, you know, because I'm like, there is going to be a trick to this. He's going to, you know, it may surprise us, but there's not going to be a real snake in there. Because if there's a real snake in there, I'm running. I don't care if the theme is Brave or not. I am not. We don't mean snakes. Snakes, mice, bats, spiders, and anything basically creepy crawly. That's my limits. The other day, me and my wife were cleaning off our patio, and she moved this little plastic thing, and behind there was a spider. I'm not kidding you. He was this big. It's the biggest spider I've ever seen around here. And so she screams and runs, and so I scream and run too because, you know, if somebody's screaming and running, that's just what you do, you know. Like, and then, you know, it turns out because I'm the man of the house, it was my job to kill this thing. And I'm like, so I got the shotgun. And because one thing I've learned is, and here's really the moral of being brave, is that always go with the sure thing. you know, you can use a newspaper, but you don't know if it's going to kill that spider. But shotgun, I know, that's going to kill it. And I don't have to be close to it. I can stand back from a distance because the shotgun will spread, and it'll be a large pattern. Now, we have to get a new deck now, but that was better than burning the house down. Because I'm telling you what, right now, like my wife has been telling me stories of people, they're finding snakes in their house. I heard the other night a snake crawled up into Caleb's wheel well and disappeared. I'd have burned the car. I don't mess with that stuff. Let me just give you a scripture just because that's what you do. You give a scripture. And that way you'll at least feel like I read from the Bible. I want to just use 1 Samuel chapter 30. Starting in verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive." And we'll just skip their names. Verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now, I've heard people preach this message before. I've heard a long time ago. We were just talking about in Bible study yesterday, a man by the name of Bishop Jim Dutton, and I heard him preach this message about without fail recover all so elegantly, like I've never touched this scripture. But in light of the theme being about being brave, I am not necessarily, like I said, you just heard me tell stories about spiders and snakes, and I'm not by nature a brave person. I'm just not. I know that doesn't sound manly, but I'm just not a brave person. If there's danger, I'm running. When I used to come to camp, I used to scope out all the girls that I thought was pretty, but the problem is I would never talk to them. I would have somebody else talk to them, or I would wait for them to talk to me, because I'm just not a brave person unless it's a sure thing. Then all of a sudden I'm the man. I'm just not. One time I used to work construction when I used to live in Columbus, Ohio, and I worked construction actually with Rogers Brothers. And one of Rogers Brothers, me and him were roommates when I lived out there. And one day we're standing. We used to lay water line and sewer line. So it was a lot of digging and ditches and stuff. And what you wanted to make sure was that the ditch that you were digging in, there's nothing in there that's dangerous, right? So one time we're laying some pipe and I'm standing there and my friend, he's down inside this ditch, and he's got a saw, and he's cutting into this concrete structure. So there's sparks and everything flying out as he's sitting there. On down the ditch, there's an excavator, and he's digging. And when he digs, he hits this big old gas line. And if you know anything about gas and sparks, those are not good things, especially a big gas line. That thing will explode forever. So the foreman, we hit this thing, and I see it, and so my first instinct is, run. So I'm running. As I'm running, the foreman yells at me, and he goes, "Hey, tell Keith to get out of the ditch." Well, Keith can't hear real well. For one, like normally, he can't hear real well. He wears hearing aids and stuff. And then on top of it, he's got a saw. So the foreman yells, "Tell Keith to stop sawing, get out of the ditch, get away from here." So I run by him like this, "Get out of the ditch." The foreman had to go and tell him to get out of the ditch because I was running because I believe in self-preservation. Couple days later, we're digging another hole, right? And so it's me and Keith again. We're standing on the side of this ditch and we're watching the excavator dig, and when you know it, there's a big old electric line underneath the thing that wasn't marked, and the excavator hit it. When that metal bucket hit that electric line, sparks just flew like you were arc welding something, right? And when it sparked, I jumped behind Keith and grabbed him like this. Now, all the danger was okay, but then I realized I'm the guy standing. So being brave is not something that I'm very good at, obviously. I try to be brave. I try to be. One time, like, there was a friend of mine. She called me, and she said she knows that I have, I have some guns. And so she calls me one day, and she said, "I was on the phone with a telephone company. And while I'm on there, this guy says, you don't know this, but I'm in your house, and I'm going to kill you." And she said, I'm on the phone with the telephone company while this guy is saying this. And the telephone company says, "We can't track that. The guy might actually be in your house." So, of course, she says, she calls me, and she says, "I'm sitting in my truck, and can you come over and check the house out?" Well, this sounded like a great idea, because I'm like, I thought, yeah, let's roll out. Before I got off the phone with her, I'm like locking, loading, And so, I get to her house. Of course, she's sitting in the truck. And so she's like, she tells me the story again. I'm like, "Well, we're going to go. I'll go through it. We'll check this out, So I've got a .45 pistol, which is a big caliber. It's going to put a big hole in somebody, And I'm thinking, this is going to be so much fun. So I go, and her front door is there, and I got my gun. I kick the front door open. checking the house out. You know, I'm going over the bar and going through each room. You know, I'm going through each room of the house. I finally get to the last room of the house. And this is where she tells me that she thinks that if somebody's in her house, this is where it's going to be because that's the only other phone jack, right? So I'm like, you know, all right, here we go. You know, and I'm limbering up. I got my gun. I go to open the door, you know, because she told me don't kick any more doors open because they had to replace that stuff. So I went to open the doorknob, and when I did, it's like kind of stuck. So I was going to ask her, you know, is this door supposed to be locked? And when I went and said locked, it opened. So, you know, I'm on edge, and so I'm checking under the beds and stuff. And so I get to the closet, and she has these closets that are like the bifolding doors, and they're, you know, one beside the other. And so I went to throw open the first one, you know, and check it. When I threw open the first one, the second one banged and, like, popped open. Later on, I found out it was because of air pressure. But at the time, I thought somebody is in this closet. And so I jump back, and I'm like, you need to come out of there right now. I'm giving you 3 seconds, and I'm shooting through the door. I'm telling you right now, I'm shooting, and I'm yelling. And so she's standing out in the kitchen. She's hearing all this stuff. And she thinks, you know, it's about to go down. Like, she's got her ears covered. She's waiting for gunshots. And I'm like, come on, you got 3 seconds. One, two. Within my hunter, you know, we growing up in West Virginia, you have to take hunter safety course in order to hunt and handle firearms. And so, you know, one of the things they always tell you is, like, always be sure of what you're shooting at, you know, always check your targets. And so I'm thinking, like, what if, like, there really is nobody in here, and, like, I'm not only just going to shoot through their closet, but this gun is going to go through their whole house. You know, like, it's really going to put a big hole in, and they're going to have to repair this, and I'm going to feel really bad if there's really nobody in there. So I decide I'm going to check this closet out, you know, and just make sure. So I'm like, I mean, my heart is just racing. It's just racing. And I'm thinking, man, I may have to kill somebody. Like, I really, and, like, it was the scariest feeling. Like, you could talk about, like, I at the, you know, when I thought I was Kojak, you know, or you know, what's the guy from Justified? Raylan Givens. I thought I was Raylan Givens. And so, you know, I'm ready, you know. Like, I'm like, yeah. And but when it really came down to it, and I thought, man, this is real. And, like, I thought, man, I'm going to have to end somebody's life. And I'm going to have to live with that. Like, all these things in a matter of 3 seconds of counting to all this is going through my mind. And so all my bravado is going out in an instance. But I know it's too late to turn back because if there's really somebody in here, I got to do this. I flip the door open, and it is just stuffed full of Christmas decorations. And there's no way nobody was in this house. But I'm still, like, my heart, I'm scared to death. Like, so I'm like, I didn't find nobody, but we're going out of here. You're coming to my house. You're going to stay there until your husband gets home. And then I'm giving him a gun, and we're both going through this house again. But for right now, I can't stay here. I'm like, I'm going to have a heart attack. Like, I made her drive me home. I'm like sweating. I mean, I'm scared to death because I'm just not a naturally brave person. But if you tell me, but like I said, if you know, when like the other night when that snake or, you know, the little thing that came out of the basket, like I saw some guys scream like girls. I didn't, you know, seriously, because I knew the sure thing was there's probably not a snake in that basket. You know, like I'm pretty certain that there was no need to be scared. There was no need to like fear that there's a snake in this basket. Like I didn't have no fear because I'm pretty sure it was a sure thing. I just like the sure thing. If somebody tells me, you know, like somebody told me one time, they said your wife, you know, at the time she wasn't my wife, but she's like she really likes you. She's really interested in you. Well, then I'm brave, and I'm like, you know, I'm walking up like the cock of the walk, you know, like, hey, how you doing, you know? And so I'm not, you know, and I act like I'm just the bravest, like most confident, you know, self-assured, you know, guy ever. But, you know, that's because somebody had already told me she is interested in you, and so I feel like this is probably a sure thing if I just play my cards right. I like the sure thing. Like I said, if there's a real snake on the ground, I'm going to grab the shotgun because that's pretty much a sure thing that if I shoot in its general vicinity, the snake is dead. I like the sure thing. Well, what I began to understand, even about our theme being brave, is like the thing about Christ and Christ in you is that Christ is the sure thing. And whenever you set your hands to do, whatever it is that you feel like you're called to do or what's in your heart to do for the kingdom, those things that if it's Christ in you, that's pretty much a sure thing that God, the scripture said that if God be for us, who can be against us? That if you have been, Romans 8 would say, if you've been predestined, you've been preordained, everything, your steps have been ordered, everything that you set your hand to do is already been determined by God to be blessed. It's already been determined that you're not going to fail. When, the story here where David comes back, and he had been out of the battle, and he comes back from this battle, and he finds his home has been burned, his family's been taken, the guys that's with him, same thing has happened to them. They're all distraught. They're all upset to the fact that they're ready to stone David because he led them away in the first place, and if they'd have been here, none of this would have happened. But in the midst of it, David begins to ask the Lord, and he simply asked the Lord, let me say this, because we were talking about this in Bible study tonight, that you hear preachers all the time, and people say, I heard the Lord say. And I say that. That's just, I heard the Lord say. Just to take the mystery out of that, God really sounds like the person in my head. Honestly. It's not spooky. When you hear a preacher say, I heard the voice of the Lord, they didn't hear no booming voice. Somebody may have. I don't know. I've never heard a booming voice. Some people say they have. That's great if you have. For me, it's the voice of God sounds a lot like me. It sounds like me. Except what happens is it's more than just like I'm talking to myself, because I do that too. Like I play out scenarios in my head of how funny. Like the balloon scenario, that went a lot better in my head. Because I really thought I was going to get that balloon blowed up. And so however you do that all the time, maybe I'm just... like I said, I didn't get a lot, a couple cups of coffee is also. Maybe I'm just not awake again. But where was I? I was talking about something before. Oh, the voice in my head, yeah. there are voices sometimes in my head that are not God. But when you hear the voice of the Lord, it's not there's something that's unique about it, is that it's not just something that talks to you here. It's something that settles here in your heart. And the voice of the Lord will always bring peace to you. Even like I was talking yesterday in Bible study, that even when sometimes the voice of the Lord has been contrary to what I want to do, Pastor Jack was speaking last night. He talked about, there's a door open here and there's a door open here, but you're supposed to go through this door, but it's closed and you're waiting on that door. The thing is that there has been times where the voice of the Lord has spoken to me that is contrary to what I wanted. Like, I wanted to go through this door. Or I wanted this to work, or I wanted this thing to happen. But the voice of the Lord would speak, and I knew that wasn't the direction I was to go. But even though it was contrary, and sometimes I would get angry. I've been angry with God about the direction. I've been angry with God and been like, but this is what I like over here. I'm not sure about this because I like the sure thing. But when the voice of the Lord speaks, even if it makes you angry, it will still bring a peace. That's what the voice of the Lord does. It brings peace. And it settles in our hearts, not just our minds. And it's not a booming voice, and it's not all spooky. It's very simplistic. He just begins to speak some things to us, and it just brings a peace and a closure to some issues. So just to clarify, when you hear people say, I heard the voice of the Lord, is my wife asked me one time, what does God sound like? She goes, what does God sound like? And I was like, he sounds like God. Yeah, but what does he sound like? She goes, this is when we first got married. She goes, I don't know if I've ever heard God speak. And I was like, of course you have. He speaks to everybody. Well, I don't, because I don't know what he sounds like. Well, he sounds like you, you know. Like, I'm being, like, I'm used to speaking in church. What I've realized over the years, too, is that I've grown up in a church culture. I'm like Pastor Jack, too. Like, I've grown up in a family of church. And so I know church culture. I know how to speak church. But then I find sometimes that church culture doesn't always translate to the real world. Sometimes the language doesn't translate to the real world, and we've gotten real good in church to say, "Well, I heard the Lord speak," but when you talk to somebody in the that's not grown up around church, their question is, "Yeah, loony, you heard God speak, right?" So, you know, I've found over the years that maybe sometimes, you know, my grandpap used to say, "I'm rambling, I'm sorry." My grandpap used to say all the time that if it's not real, it's not reality. And he would talk about how Jesus is a real reality and that he will reach a real world. And my grandpa would preach that message all the time. And, growing up, I didn't always understand what he was talking about. Because, again, I grew up in a church culture, so I knew church language, but I didn't always know the language of necessarily the world. But what I've found over the years is that sometimes that language and that culture of Christianity doesn't always translate to the world, and somehow, if we're going to speak to them, we're going to have to speak from a language that they understand. Because Jesus will work in every culture, in every language, and in every aspect. Jesus works. He really does. I know that we're sitting here in church camp and that we're supposed to say these things, but I'm being honest with you. Jesus really will work in the real world. And he really will touch real people. But sometimes what we got to do is lose our Christian language and begin to learn how to speak the language that will touch a world and a generation. What I've learned over the last several years is really that the culture even of Christianity is changing, that we're starting to become more conscientious of what's happening around us and really to be the answer. And that really has to happen if we're ever going to change what's happening around us. Pastor Jack was talking last night, and he was talking about, we need to open our eyes and see from God's perspective. We need to see some things. And the truth of the matter is, God's perspective is that he's brought heaven to earth and that he's already redeemed mankind. They just haven't been waken up to that true identity. They haven't been woken up to that reality. The thing is that you're sitting here in this room this week hearing a truth that the world is waiting to hear. You're being equipped for something that is really going to change the world around you. We don't have to wait on one day Jesus is going to make things happen. Jesus has already made it happen. And when we open our eyes to the truth of that reality, when we talk about being brave because it's a sure thing, this makes me brave. The reason why I can boldly declare the things of God is because I know what's already done. I know what's already accomplished. I know it's a sure thing. I'm not waiting for heaven to one day happen. I know heaven has happened. I'm not waiting for one day God to save the world. I know he's already saved it. And all I've got to do is begin to declare the truth to the world so that they wake up to that identity and realize, man, this is a good place to live. This is a good day to be in. I'm in a good place. I'm blessed beyond measure. Man, there's nothing that I can't do that God hasn't already blessed ahead of me. It's the sure thing. How do I become brave? Because it's good to say, we need to be brave. We need to stand up. What we think is, I go back to school when I go back, and I've got to tell my friends about this encounter I had with Jesus. And sometimes those things scare us, but we're sitting here in youth camp. We're getting pumped. We're going, I can do this. I can do this. Until we walk into the first day, and then we're encountered with some stuff, and then we're like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Because I'm going to tell you what, it happens as adults even. We walk into workplaces. It may not be school, but we walk into workplaces and think, I want to be brave, but what are they going to think of me? I don't want to be just the guy that everybody sees reading a Bible somewhere. I want to be somebody that they want to be around too. So this stuff doesn't stop. It's constant. But here's the deal. Jesus will really work in a real-world scenario, and he really will touch the world if we realize that it's not me having to be brave to make a change. It's simply being brave enough to realize the change has already been made. That I'm not having to make something happen. I'm not having to make... See, here's the thing, man. I'm not even having to make people disciples. The truth of the matter is they're already disciples. They just don't even know it yet. This is a sure thing. How can I be brave? How can I stand up for the right thing? Because I know it's already accomplished. I know it's already a done deal. I know that I'm going to win no matter what. Because what happens is we begin to inquire at the Lord this week and we begin to ask him. See, in any situation you're in, maybe you're in a good situation. I'm in a good place. I'm not really worried about, you know, there's not really too much happening that, you know, has got too much drama in my life that I have to worry about. I live in a good place. But simply because I've really embraced that there's a good place wants to happen all the time for me. But maybe you don't come from that good place. Maybe you're like David. Maybe it looks like your city has been burned and everything you love has been taken away. And you don't know how, and you have cried and you've been distraught over the things that are happening around you. It looks like everything has fallen apart. Maybe even you've served the Lord and it seems that way. But just like David, all you got to do is begin to inquire at the Lord and say, Lord, should I go and begin to get my stuff back? Should I pursue after this? And the answer is, not only are you going to pursue, but without fail, you're going to recover it all. Yeah. You're going to gain it back because it's a sure thing. The victory has already been determined and the battle's already been won. Amen? Yeah. As we go about it this week, man, you can be confident to allow yourself to have a true encounter with the Father, because the Father just simply wants to awaken you to the truth of what's already been done, that you are never going to fail. You are not failures. You are not sinners. You are the righteous of God, and you are more than conquerors. You are victorious through Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you.
Amen. That should encourage you this morning. Good word from both. You guys, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us this morning. Amen. Are you hungry?
Yes.
Well, let's everybody stand. It's about